This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. Coming to you from the Tantalk Network studio here in glorious Clearwater, Florida. And it is glorious. I just want to tell everyone, we are just so lucky. The weather has just been great. We needed that after that scare of the hurricane. I wanted to start today. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking to Karen Slaughter, and her book is one of the most anticipated crime fiction of the year, and so it's I'm very pleased that she decided to join me today for this release, because I met her when she was here in St. Petersburg at the Vinoy Hotel, and it was just wonderful to talk to her, and so I'm looking forward to having her back again. She was here on the program before. You know, it has been just a crazy, crazy week, and so many things have happened. With all of this, with all of the, after the hurricane, and we didn't have the hurricane, so I just got, like, all flustered with everything that was happening. And I particularly want to stop for a moment and say thank you very much. When they report a hurricane is coming here, to our area, to Clearwater, Florida, people know about Clearwater, Florida, because every time I start the program, I say, here in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And so I was so amazed, actually, that I got so many emails from people who were concerned about me. People all over the country, they heard about it. You know, it was a big news on all of the networks, and CNN, Fox, and every station covered. You know, we were going to have a hurricane here in Clearwater, and the emails I got, they brought tears to my eyes. People were worried about me. They were telling me to make sure that I get out of the way of the hurricane. Am I protected? Do I have some place to stay? Several people offered me places to stay. They said, if you have to evacuate, you can come up to us. I had invitations to go up actually to Georgia, which is funny because that's where Karen Slaughter is from. So I had invitations. You know, we have a guest house, so we have an extra room. And I didn't expect all of that. It was just really so heartwarming to do that. So I want to thank everybody. And now I want to talk to somebody who just, as a matter of fact, gave me... It was wonderful to be able to read her book during all this sort of hectic preparation, and I knew that I would be calm because Esme Addison has written another wonderful book in her Enchanted Bay Mystery series, and I'm so happy to welcome Esme back to Joy on Paper to talk about A Hex for Danger, her second book. Hi!
Hi, how are you doing? I'm happy to be back.
Oh, wow. You know, I love this series. I tell you, it's like these emails I was getting from people. I felt so warm and comforted and happy. And then I'm reading, it is just so nice. Now, I live on a bay, so I see the water all the time. And I do like to imagine that, and I see dolphins sometimes, but I haven't seen a mermaid yet, but I would love to.
Right. And I would do.
It is so, your series is, this new series is just so nice. I feel so comfortable with these people. It's like they are family. They really are. We have to explain that it's a Polish family with mermaids, and most people don't understand. And of course, I've been to Warsaw. My mother-in-law is Polish. So I know the whole story of the mermaid, and you picked it up so beautifully, and I don't know how good your Polish is, but I love that you opened the book with a Polish saying, which is really heartwarming and just a wonderful thing. And I'm going to try. Do you want me to say it in Polish, or you just say it in Polish?
You can try. Go ahead.
I'll try it. Rodzina niestjes mishmek schnack jest schwestkem. Something like that.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Oh, all you Polish people out there, now I'm going to get emails. But it means the family is not important. It is everything. And it is an old Polish saying. I had heard it many times from my mother-in-law. So I love that you started the book. And I just like the people in your book. I really feel like, you know, I could go to Bellamy and I could just walk around there and I know everybody. You write so beautifully. It's just, I cannot compliment you enough on this, because when you can create a location, a place, you can paint that picture so beautifully that I really feel like I could walk there. I could walk into the apothecary shop. You know, it's just, I just found it a thrilling thing, and it's called, of course, Botanic. How do we say it? Botanica? Botanica. Yeah, Botanica. Botanica, and it's apothecary shop, which I love anyway. I love books with apothecary shops. So I just think you've done it, Esme. You've really done it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love that you like the city that or the town, that you feel like you can be there and you the people. That's exactly why I wanted to write a cozy. You know, I wanted to create like this really kind of warm, cozy, like comfortable space, and you know, of course, put a mystery there. But you sounds like I've achieved that goal. So I'm really happy to hear that.
Oh, you have. Tell us, well, for my listeners who don't know the story, tell why. You know, this is a book full of mermaids, but there's so many things in it. There's the mystery, there's the apothecary, and then you have just so many elements. It's so rich. It's a really rich book. We feel when we're reading it and when we finish that, you know, we've had a heck of a good time.
Yes, we did.
So tell us about the mermaid from Poland.
Okay, so this is a real myth, and if you, like you said, if you go to Warsaw, you'll see the statues of the mermaid everywhere. But basically the myth is that, you know, generations ago, there was a mermaid in the Vistula River, and she was, somebody or something was taking fishermen's fish. And this trio of fishermen hid out, I guess, one night and tried to find out what was going on. And they discovered, a beautiful mermaid was freeing the fish from the net. So they captured her, but she used her beautiful voice and she talked to them and asked them to set her free. So they decided to. And once they set her free, she was captured again by a local merchant that wanted to, do something nefarious with her, probably treat her like a freak show or charge, money for people to come to see or something like that. So she asked for help and she was freed. And because she was so grateful, she promised to protect the city of Warsaw. And so, and from this, her statue is all over Warsaw, and she has a shield and she has a sword.
Yeah, I know. So it's lovely.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And so that's the myth of the Mermaid of Warsaw, and that's what the story is based on.
And then we get to Bellamy Bay, and you create this lovely little town with all of these wonderful characters. Really, I needed this book because I've been getting a lot of books that are heavy,
dark.
I feel like I'm starting to get this wave of pandemic books, all, with masks and all of this. And to just feel that you're happy, you're happy. Okay, there's a murder. I mean, what the heck? We need a murder.
Right. No.
but we'll work around that.
Yeah, it's funny because it sounds weird to say it, but like, I don't really enjoy writing about murder. you know, but that's kind of, you have to have one for this genre. I really love the genre. I like small town. I like the characters. And so that's why, you know, if you read my stories, you'll see that there's a lot more going on than just the murder. It's probably one of the smallest elements of the story when you compare it to the other types of mysteries that are in there. It's important, of course. And it's always tied into the greater mystery, but there's always something else going on, not just the murder.
Well, that's what I felt. There's layers to it. There's depths to it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, I suppose the shadow of Nancy Drew hangs over you, huh?
Looms large,
yes, doesn't she? It's funny, yeah. You know, for all of us who read Nancy Drew when we were young, the impact was really quite amazing.
It is, yeah. Every time I talk to other authors, especially mystery authors, they all reference that character. She was so impactful, and I was thinking about her recently. Like, I don't even remember what the stories are about anymore. I just know that they impacted me. Like, I don't want to go back and read them as an adult because I don't want my perception of the story to change. I want to just remember them as I did.
Well, actually, they're delightful.
Are they still?
You know, it's funny. The original ones, not
the original.
Not please. I get so upset. Of course, you know, being a book lover, my boys grew up to be book lovers, and so they started reading at a very young age. They were reading the Hardy Boys when they were 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So, we were poor, actually. We were very poor at that time in our lives. I had been very rich, and then we had gotten very poor. and I didn't have a lot of money. And so we haunted secondhand bookstores, and because I was homeschooling them. So they also had to have all of their curriculum was secondhand bookstores. And they started collecting the Hardy Boys. And they wanted, of course, the original ones. Yeah. So we started collecting, and then when they finished that, they went to the next series, and then they helped me collect all the Nancy Drew ones that I didn't have, Cherry Ames, the nurse one, and now, and of course, in the Hardy Boys, they had hot rods, they had, you know, the proper way. Nowadays, the modern Hardy Boys are terrible. I'm sorry, whoever's writing them.
I don't want to see them.
You don't want to see them, and I think it's very bad what they've done. They did not need to be modernized because, I mean, we don't modernize Jane Austen. We don't say, oh, well, I mean, people do, but not to great effect. But, you know, it's because they are, and I have shelves just filled with Hardy Boys and Nancy Drews lined up all, you know, like everyone in the series. It turned into a real family. Even my husband joined in. Because sometimes when he would be someplace and he would see a bookstore, he would go in himself. I mean, this was turned out to be absolutely a joy to the boys because he'd come back and he'd say, I found one. Do you have number 33? I found it. So, you know, and so, yeah, she does loom large over us. And it was just so good. Again, what did it do? It painted a picture for us. We went into those books. We were in those. We were living in those books at the time we were reading them. We were living in them. I felt like we were in them. It's exactly how I feel with your books. Both of these books, I just love this series because I feel so strongly that I am there and I know these people. And of course, you talk about food, which. You know, for Polish people, that's a big deal.
Right. Is there one character that you kind of resonate with more than others, or do you just like them all?
Well, you know, I like Aunt Lydia because, funny, we had Aunt Lydia in my family. It's, you know, so it's just, it's just so, they're all so good. So tell us, you could tell us what you want to tell about this particular book so that, but of course, we don't give away the mystery of it, but.
Right. Okay, so this story continues from A Spell from Trouble in which Alex, you know, travels from, she relocates from New York reconnects with her family. And so in A Hex for Danger, she is settling into the town. It's 3 months after the first book. It's July. It's the middle of the summer. And there's a mermaid festival happening. She's working at the apothecary. She's dating Jack now. Uh-huh. And she is beginning to really kind of find her place in the community. And in the midst of planning the festival, she meets the artist who was brought in to do a mermaid mural. And this artist is not as she seems, and she actually has information about Alex's past, or sorry, her history, her heritage as a mermaid. And she knows some reasons why she may be a mermaid, I guess you could say. But she has information, and there's a lot of secrets surrounding her. I don't want to give too much.
No, don't give away too much, because that's part of the fun. It's just,
right.
You do it so nicely.
So there's a mystery, but Alex ends up learning some interesting facts about her background. There's a mystery, you know, someone is killed while this is all happening, and there's a backdrop of, you know, corporate espionage, you know, government, military. It's kind of a weird contrast. You know, you got the beach and you've got mermaids and conspiracies and government, that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think it works.
It does work. I mean, as I said, all of the characters. I love Alex. I love Minka.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're having fun when you're writing these books.
I am, and I'm writing the book I want to read, you know, and this is what I want, you know, this crazy mix of mermaids and mystery and beautiful beach and, you know, herbal remedies and a really kind of crazy, like, conspiracy, you know, I have a background, so, you know, I was a military spouse, I've worked on military bases, I've worked with government contractors and I research things, you know, I read a lot. So I'm just kind of bringing together all of my different interests.
Well, it comes out very nicely. I just want to compliment you again, because at this time, I'm not yet ready actually for too much angsty stuff. I'm really not. I really need books like this. And I think other people do, too, because it takes us away into a nicer place, nicer time with really nice people that we'd like to know. And because, unfortunately, we don't, you know, it's only now. And now they're saying, again, stop visiting people, you know. So here you're sort of visiting people that you would really like to visit.
Right. Right.
So
without giving away too much, what did you think about, I bring in a little more mythology.
Yes, I like that. I do love books with mythology. I've always love that. And, you know, everything that you bring in, as I said, the richness of it, so seamlessly, you manage to, you know, to tell stories and sort of weave in mythology. But it's like, I mean, you forget that it's mythology because you start. I mean, that's a good thing. You know, when I'm starting to look out my window in the morning, I say, you know, there could be. It just could be a mermaid out there.
Right.
Because I look out on the water every morning and I can see it. I just, it's one thing. It's, you know, one thing I can tell people. When you're looking for a book where you really want to relax, this series, I think it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be a long-running series, and it's just fun. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something, and this is funny. Reading the series, and I'm thinking to myself, now, I always see books as you know, if I like a book, I see it as a film. And I, to tell you the truth, I saw this as a film at first, but I saw it sort of as a film combined with, I don't know, I'm hearing some banging here. Whoa, boy. There's something going on here. I see it as a film, sort of half cartoon, half film kind of thing. Do you remember do you remember that what was that one with Don Knox, the one, the movie where there's half film and half cartoon? They could do this.
You mean like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that kind of
yeah thing? That I mean they could make this into a cartoon series. This I'd love this family.
It could be.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, I would like it as just a regular television series, let's say, but I would love to see this done as a cartoon series. I don't know if you've explored that with your agent. Of all the
no,
this is something you really should explore because this really would take to having a cartoon series. I want to be in this little town. I want to be there.
Do you mean like a cartoon for children or a cartoon for adults?
Adults, you know, a sort of a everybody, fam, you know, even with a murder.
It would be interesting.
I think it would be interesting. I see it in my head. It's crazy. I, you know, I'm telling you, there's possibilities with this book. I love it.
Oh yeah, I would definitely love for it to be a television show.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think you're just a fantastic author. I think that you've done a great job, and I know it's difficult right now to get out there and do a lot of events. And meet people. I hope that you're finding other methods to market the book.
I am. I'm doing a lot of online events, you know, Facebook parties. I've got some online, like, virtual interviews coming up. I actually have one with Murder by the Books this Thursday with Essie Perkins and Sherry Jackson. Her series is set in Florida. Actually, I think it might be Clearwater. I'm not sure. Somewhere. Down there. So I'm doing those types of things. I am actually going to be coming to Florida, not this year, but next year. There's maybe we can meet. There's a conference. It's like Coastal Magic.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I would love to meet you because I think you're a delightful writer. I think that you've captured something here, and that's important. It's important when you can touch a reader's heart, when they really feel like they care about your people and they enjoy it. I think you've done a terrific job, Esme. What's your contacts with webpage? You have a webpage, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right. So my website is esmeaddison.com, and then I am on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Esme Addison.
And Esme is spelled ESME, and it's really a pretty name. It's easy to remember. I think actually there aren't that many. So if you type it in, you come right near the top, and it's such a pretty name, and a romantic name. And there's nice little romance in this book too, which I enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think about Jack? Do you like him?
Oh, first of all, I'll tell you something. One, you got it right when you named him Jack, because that's like one of my, I don't know why I love that name. And I like him. Oh, did I tell you I want to meet all these people?
No.
Oh, isn't it fun? Well, of course, having been in the military, I think you know how to write about men and No, what is
it? Well, I was a military spouse.
I know, but you've been around a lot of military guys, so.
Right.
Yeah, you pick it up. I think you've done a terrific job, and I really want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's always a delight to talk to you. And when's the next book coming out? I'm already ready.
Right. The next one's going to be set, and there's always about 3 months after the next book, so the next one should be next fall.
Okay. Well, I will look forward to that, and I will continue to promote this book as one of my favorite cozy
Wonderful.
Mysteries. Okay?
Thank you. That sounds great.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, she's so sweet. She is adorable. And the book is really, really good. Let's do, we're going to do, I think we have a book buzz from Rita Moreau for Carol J. Perry, right? Okay, let's play that. And then we'll go to commercials.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Be My Ghost, a haunted haven mystery book number one by Kensington author Carol J. Perry. Newsflash! Be My Ghost has been named 15 of the best upcoming cozy mysteries for the second half of 2021. Wowzer! Okay, here's the buzz. Maureen and her golden retriever, Finn, have taken possession of a charming old inn, only to discover that it's already possessed by tenants whose lease on life already ran out. Maureen's career as a sportswear buyer hits a snag just before Halloween when the department store declares bankruptcy. Meanwhile, Finn's lost his way as a guide dog after flunking his test for being too friendly and easily distracted. Sadly, only one of them can earn unemployment. So Maureen's facing a winter of discontent in Boston when she realizes she can't afford her apartment. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance, an inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from the theme parks. Maureen believes it's a good place to make a fresh start with a new business venture. But she gets more than she's bargained for when she finds a dead body on her property and meets some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts who offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. Be My Ghost, a haunted haven mystery book number one by fabulous Kensington author Carol J. Perry. It releases August 31st, but it's available now for pre-order on Amazon. Can't wait? Hey, check out Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mystery Series. There's 11 books and counting. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's Radio-Joy on Paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I'm just waiting for my next guest, Karen Slaughter. She's going to be calling in a few minutes, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. But I also wanted to tell everyone that if you have a question, and after Bill Larson's being on the program last week, I got quite a few emails from people who were asking about intellectual property questions. So when you have an intellectual property question, just go to my website or send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com, and I will, of course, give it to Bill and ask him. But if you have a particular question that you need, like one of you sent to me, a sort of an emergency question, contact Larson and Larson directly. Just go straight onto the internet and type Larson and Larson, and their number and their information will pop up, and they have a form there that you can fill in with your intellectual property question. So if you feel that you've really got something urgent happening, that somebody's, done something with your book, and you're really worried about it, go directly to them, because I can't tell you, if what you've done is wrong, or if what somebody's done is wrong. But I was happy that Bill Larson's talk the other day, his interview the other day, really did bring out some very important information, and that many of you were listening, and that many of you have now grown wary of what your rights are and what people can do to you or for you. So I'm very, very happy that Bill Larson is our legal eagle, and that he's been able to answer so many of your questions. And I'm just waiting now, in a few minutes, I think. Is she on yet? Okay, she should be on in a little while. Anyway, I'm waiting for her. Wanted also to talk again. People have asked me, again, how to get a literary agent. Again, if you are looking for a literary agent, please do not buy those ABC, A to Z agent books that are advertised and that people, write. Because by the time those books are published, remember, there's always a lag in publishing. So if you're publishing, if a major publisher is publishing a list of agents, it's at least a year old, perhaps more. And by the time that you get to them, half of those people aren't agents anymore. They've gone on into something else. And nowadays with COVID, who knows who's doing what? Because many agents, they're all over the place now. So make sure that if you're looking for an agent, go to Publishers Weekly, and they have a section, and it's called Recent Deals, New Deals. Go there, and they have a list of those agents and stories. They have little stories about the books that have been selling and what agents have been selling them. Because this is where you will find the real information, agents who actually are selling books. And those are the ones that you want to approach. Don't just pick names out and start at the letter A and work your way down. Again, somebody told me that while during this pandemic-y time, they decided they were finally going to find an agent and they were going to hit everybody. And literally, one after another, starting at A without really knowing the agents or what they want. You do have to check on the agents. You have to check on, there is a time when you want to look at people's Facebook pages. I don't like to look at, actually, I don't look at author Facebook pages because I don't really want to know too much about the author. I only want to know about the books. But if you're looking for an agent, those are the Facebook pages you should be reading and finding out what agents are interested in and what they're reading and what they are selling. And then that's the way to approach an agent, not any other way. So do be careful and think about it. And I hope that, of course, that you will that you'll be able to find an agent if you want one. And if not, don't give up, because there are many, many, many authors, indie authors, who have made it big, and they've done it because they've worked hard. And that's the thing about being a writer. It takes persistence. And if there's anybody who is persistent, it is Karen Slaughter. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Okay. Whoa. Oh, well, it's so nice to welcome you to back to Joy on Paper. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay. Well, it's crazy. It seems like yesterday, in a way, that we met here at the Vinoy Hotel at BoucherCon, And all of us were having so much fun. And, of course, you remember how beautiful the Vinoy Hotel is. And, you know, we were all around the bars. We were having fun. Everybody was hugging. Everybody was kissing. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And now we are here. And the world's changed.
Just a little bit. I mean, you've had the pandemic there, too?
Oh, I think the world's had the pandemic, you know. And, of course, we had...
A lot of things have changed, but I think, you know, good people like yourself, we just stay who we are and wait for things to get a little better. You're like me. You're a very positive person. So I feel like, you know, hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I hope so, too, because we need that light at the end of the tunnel. Now, did you write this book up there in your cabin somewhere in northern Georgia?
I did. Most of it was written in the northern part of Georgia. My father's up there. I have a little cabin that he built for me over 20 years ago, and I just get up there and sequester myself, and it's just me and the story, and I love that part of my job.
Well, I love that area, and I know that it's conducive to writing because you really, it's just such a lovely place. Now, the new book, of course, is called False Witness, and that is set in town. That's a city book, a very city book. And, of course, it's a change for you. This is a standalone. I actually thought we were going to get... a different book. What do you want to tell people about this book? It's not an easy book. You know, it's the first book really where from a major author that I've gotten where you've blended in. You had to blend in the mask business.
Yeah, you know, I did. I wrote it during the pandemic. The story takes place partially during the pandemic. But it's very much on background. You know, I reference people wearing masks or whatever. Because I wanted to be writing about what's going on right now. And this seemed like a good book for that. It's a standalone. I've got two new characters. Lee, who is an attorney at a white shoe law firm. She's very driven, type A. And then you have her sister, Callie, who's sort of living on the margins of society. She struggles with addiction. And it seemed like a great way to talk about the different ways people have been riding out the pandemic, you know, and how some of them have been able to live a fairly uninterrupted life of luxury, and some of us have been out there on the front lines. And I just thought, well, this is a good opportunity to talk about these social issues in a way that is magnified by the pandemic.
And the thing is, the book is very... It's very hard-hitting. There are so many very difficult subjects in it. Of course, with your writing, you're just such a great writer. Did you worry a little bit that it was a little too hard-hitting at this time?
You know, no, I think that people who read my books and they like these stories know I take an unflinching look at crime. And part of that is a very personal choice, because when I was growing up, you know, I lived in a small southern town, so every Sunday we went to church, and then we went to Sunday dinner at my grandmother's. And occasionally she would have a cut lip or a black eye or a broken bone, and my uncles would tease her about being clumsy. And I realized as I got older, no one's that clumsy. My grandfather is beating her. And the family is pretending like it's not happening. And I know for a fact that silence never, ever helped my grandmother. It only helped my grandfather. And so when I started writing, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be silent about what's actually happening. And I think a lot of my readers appreciate that, because it's really anchored in the real world. It talks about these social issues. It talks about violence against men and women in a realistic way. And it kind of makes you ask the question, we know this is going on, why aren't we doing anything to try to stop it?
That's true. The thing is, I was, you know, with your books, sometimes there's a comfort zone because of the other characters that we know know so well, and that we, you know, we feel comforted just knowing them. And this book is, this is a rough book. I was thinking, you know, it's heartbreaking. And I was so impressed with the writing, how you took us into this story and brought these characters to life. I was really very fond of Lee right away. I just thought, this is one woman that is tough. I mean, she is strong. She's an amazing woman.
Well, thank you. You know, she's loosely based on a friend of mine, perhaps that you've read, Alastair Burke.
Oh, of course.
Alastair, of course, didn't have horrific violence in her past, but you know, she grew up fairly poor. Her father at the time was a college professor in Kansas, which, I mean, even today probably doesn't pay a lot of money. We never pay the most important people in the world what they deserve. But Alastair worked her way through college. She ended up going to Stanford. She's a law professor now. She's a writer. She writes with Mary Higgins Clark. But I wanted to kind of pay an homage to her for growing up and being able to lift herself up. I mean, that's the great American dream, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And she is, of course, she is a perfect inspiration, because you were with her at the BoucherCon when we were here.
That's right.
You did a panel with her.
She helped me on, I have some legal questions. And, you know, the thing is, as an author, you can find the person who's like the world expert in a subject, but if they don't understand that you're trying to write a story, then they're not particularly helpful in answering your questions. But Alastair understands story and structure so well that instead of me saying, hey, you know, I want this to happen, and her saying it would never happen that way, it just wouldn't, she'll ask, you know, what's the legal underpinning for this to get you to this point, which is so great. I mean, she's a wonderful storyteller, and I just can't say enough about how great she is.
Oh, I know. Mary Higgins Clark loved her, and of course, Mary Higgins was on the program many times, and we had lots of fun, and we always talked about her, too, and about how Alastair is so strong and has achieved so much. And so I'm glad to hear that she was part of the inspiration for this character, because Lee Collier is a great character.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's important for me to write about women who are successful, because that's who I see in my real life. And it just as someone who loves reading crime fiction, I like seeing smart women figure out why bad things are happening.
Well, of course, you know, and this was like the most, I think this is the most anticipated book of the, you know, crime fiction of the summer. I know that everybody was just waiting for this book to come out. Well, they're always waiting for your books to come out, because I don't know, you're like in 120 countries. Does it ever just make you sort of like just in awe that you're in 120 countries?
Well, you know, I don't think about it too much, because it would just be too overwhelming. What I think about is, you know, I actually did my first in-person event last night at a wonderful bookstore outside Atlanta called Foxtail. And, you know, everybody had masks on, and I got to sign books, and we got to take pictures. And that's who I think about. It's like that person who, I mean, we had one person who drove from Indianapolis, another person who drove from Kentucky. Those are the people that I think about when I think about my books being published. You know, they were happy enough with my last book that they couldn't wait to get their hands on the next.
Well, your fans are amazing. And when you were here at BoucherCon, I told you last time that there were four senior women, very senior women, who made the trip all the way from Minnesota, and they came down here to Florida. They didn't care about any other author. They just wanted to see you. They flew from Minnesota, and they talked to me, because I was asking, why'd you come? And they said, but we have to see her because she is such a good writer, and we want to reread every one of her books, and I'd like to see her again. And they've followed you to different conventions.
Yeah, you know, these retired ladies who travel around to see me, I think they're great. But I will say, if I had to choose between being in Minnesota and Florida, especially during the winters, I might make a good excuse to see an author and go to Florida.
That's true. We had such a nice time at BoucherCon. I thought that was such a great one. Well, I don't know. Are you going to this year's BoucherCon?
I can't. I've got a scheduling conflict, but I'm absolutely looking forward to the next one. It's a great event, and I encourage people to go to it.
Well, the one in Dallas was so wonderful, and it is. It's just remarkable how your fans particularly are so the two fans that I find that are really so crazy about their authors, yours and David Baldacci's. I have David Baldacci fans who, like, they get so excited about it. So it is really wonderful that you've created this fan base. It's amazing, and I guess what are we talking about? Over 35 million books, so that's pretty impressive. But what always has impressed me about you is that your love of books and your love of libraries, because when I've lived all over the world, every time where I've lived someplace where there hasn't been a library, I've started a library, and an English library, you know, for people who want to read books in English. So I know you love libraries.
I do. And, you know, wherever you go, a library is always going to feel like home. Just being surrounded by books is so great. But we've learned so much during the pandemic, and no more so than how important libraries are. I mean, you think about kids in rural parts of America who don't have internet, or they have dial-up, which doesn't support doing virtual learning. So they can go to their library and sit in the parking lot, and they've got a free hotspot. Or they even had buses that would do mobile hotspots. Or a lot of kids don't have laptops. You know, if they're doing a math class, it's on their parent's cell phone, and if the parent gets a phone call, math class is over. So, you know, they've been letting kids borrow laptops, letting them borrow iPads and Chromebooks and this sort of thing. And they've just really done what I think good libraries always do, which is being the backbone of our society and helping people get access not just to reading, but to being gainful members of society.
Well, I think your work is wonderful. And of course, it is. You have a nonprofit organization, right?
I do. It's called Save the Libraries. We've given away almost $500,000 to various libraries, not just in America, but around the world.
Well, that's fantastic. Just wonderful. Well, the new book, you know, it's different from what I had expected, but I was very happy when I started reading it and got into the story. And it touches on some really important subjects, and child abuse being one of them. Wow. I just want to tell people that, you know, when they read a Karen Slaughter book, they are getting just top quality writing. That's all we can say, because, you know, it's I so appreciate an author who can tell a great story, and you can do that.
Well, thank you very much. That's basically all I think about is my job, is letting people read good stories that I've written. So you've given me high praise there.
Well, False Witness is the name of the book, and I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I hope that in the future we will be able to meet at some more events, because there are going to be some events are opening up, and the world is perhaps getting better, and we all have to live in hope and keep writing. And one of the things with you, of course, is that you just write. And that's the important thing, isn't it? That if you have a story to tell, to just start writing.
Exactly. That's the hard part. Just sit down and do it.
Well, again, Karen Slaughter, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. I really appreciate it. And again, it's just wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you. I look forward to the next time.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Okay. Whoa. The name of the book is False Witness, and her website, of course, is Karen Slaughter. with an I, Karen, K-A-R-I-N, Karen Slaughter. And you can find out more about her books there and about her. And this is a very, 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 it's a book that is almost, it's so overwhelming when you read it, because it makes you really think about child abuse, about just terrible, terrible people. I don't know, we just had today, you know, you're looking at people now able to just go up into space, and it's the year 2021, and you would think that at some point we would all get the idea that, you know, the Earth is just, we have one Earth, and we could all just make it. Really, it's all really pretty from a distance. When they look at it, what was the guy who went up there saying? He said, it looks like a marble. It's a beautiful, you know, blue and green marble. Well, it is a beautiful blue and green marble. But, you know, when we get closer and we see the what potential we have, and then you read a book like this, and you see, just, I don't know. I was really moved by the book. It's of course a great mystery. There's a murder. It's all of that. With every crime fiction, of course, that Karen does, there's going to be a lot of investigation, and there's going to be a lot of forensics and all of that type of thing. But the actual storyline, all it does come back to people. And to people not treating other people nicely, and I found it very. I just found it an overwhelming book, and I'm sure that many people will find that it's a great read. It's a great read. But you might find it a bit overwhelming, and I just hope that more people will read it, because it does open your eyes, and you want to think, whoa. If you know any, but like she said about her grandmother being abused, and nobody talked about it. And in this book, there's child abuse, and again, do people talk about it? So it's something that it's an eye-opening thing, and that's she always likes to be very current, very up to date on things. So yeah, it's an interesting book, and it's called False Witness. Well, what a day! What a day! Anyway, I as I said, I was overwhelmed by kindness, and I did not expect to get all of those very, very kind letters and emails. And thank you again. I just want to thank everybody for that. I sort of needed that, and it was really great. Anyway, everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So start writing, and you might be like Rita Moreau, who does our book buzzes, and she's got a new series. My goodness, she's busy all the time, and she's happy because she is writing a wonderful new series. And the next book is coming out in August, and she's going to be here, and she's going to be talking about it, Murder on Honky Tonk Row. You can pre-order it now. Boy, it's a great book. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Big Ed, thank you for everything, and I appreciate you. And everybody, have a wonderful day. He saluted me, so I can salute him. Everybody, bye-bye now.